as it's our fifth birthday, it's good to put a marker in the ground, and just for the next maybe 20 minutes, there we are. He says that courageously. We're going to just do a double hand and just speak about a few things about Revival Church. God has given us the name of Revival Church in order that we and others are clear about both our mandate from God and the reason for our existence. So it's a good reminder of why we do what we do. And our name is our brand. And I would say it's true to say that calling us Revival Church, God has branded us literally, like that's indelibly marked us really, with an inescapable calling to usher in revival. We can't escape that. When we started, when we changed our name to Revival Church, if you were around at the time, we did a whole lot of teaching, even before we launched, on what revival is. I have a little bit of experience in advertising. I don't come from an advertising background, but I've worked with things connected with that. And I do understand a little bit about how it's one thing saying something, promoting something, advertising something, but if you can't deliver the goods, basically it's useless. I know one particular brand, I won't say who it was, who purport one thing on national advertising, but actually our experience of them has never delivered. So it's wasted millions of money because their local establishments aren't able to deliver what their advertising promotes. So Revival Church Billerahy is a big name. Anyway, from the outset, when the Holy Spirit seeded this church in our hearts in 2009, God has given us strategy and vision. And each step of the way, we've endeavoured to do it under the leading of the Holy Spirit. That should be a self-evident statement for a church, but that is the way we've done stuff. And if this was to be Jesus' church, and obviously the church is his, it was vital that we built according to his blueprints, really, and not our good ideas. I'm sure we've all got loads of good ideas, but good ideas would not be enough, really, to build a church. I'll give you some examples, really, of some of the ways the Holy Spirit's led us and some of the building strategies. Firstly, it's the venues that we've met in. This isn't the first. The people we've raised into positions of responsibility. The themes and Bible passages that we've taught on. The training events, like Jane mentioned, and conferences that we've run. The format of our meetings, which have changed, the focus on establishing a strong family, even where our church office is and having a church office, our worship, the way we do our worship, our prayer hours, there's three of those at the church office every week, our strap line, living in the flow of God's love and power, on that nice little banner there, our core values. If you don't know what our core values are, on the little leaflet dispenser over there, please grab yourself a bookmark. On the flip side, there's the seven core values of why we do what we do. Really important. Holy Spirit inspired. Key scriptures from John 4 and 2 Kings 19:22. Really about wells and streams and making a difference in an environment. Our passion for our town and community, which includes schools minister in Billericay and Billericay street pastors. That's intrinsic. Our heart and passion for Israel and our connection, therefore, and support of Martyrs Israel, which is a Christian organisation and ministry. Our commitment to our national, to our nation, really, and our Christian heritage in this nation, which is why we support as a church Christian concern. All these things, as I say, led by the Holy Spirit. And also throughout our journey, God has released to us also prophetic words to establish his purposes for Revival Church. It's been really a key thing. And some of these have been reiterations. Some of these have been fresh revelations as well. And I want us to see these prophetic words, really, as tent pegs, really. And in faith and expectation, we stake out God's intentions with these prophetic words. And then we build the structures a Revival Church around that. That's what the prophetic words are for. They tell us ahead of time God's intention. We grab hold of them. We say we put a marker down here with this prophetic word. We put a marker down with here with that prophetic word, and then we move into that. We build according to that, rather than passively staying where we are. Lord, tell us where to go, or just do what you want. We're in partnership with God. He's a sovereign God, but he's invited us to the table to partner with him. We're co-heirs and co-partners. The kingdom will not be advanced without us playing our part. Jane's going to be highlighting some of these prophetic words shortly. Recently, I was away an overnighter, and it was in a Christian conference centre, and I picked up a copy of Christianity magazine, and I read an excellent article by Terry Virgo, which many of you will know was the founder of New Frontiers International. And the Holy Spirit really, as I read this really good article, gave me a wonderful glimpse into how he that is God, is weaving together all these things that I've listed, really, and more, to form and fashion a church which will faithfully serve the revival that many believe will come to the UK alongside countless other revival-ready churches. And it's a bit like what Steve was saying earlier, that picture, that God is fashioning revival-ready churches, those wells that are ready, actually, to really release what heaven has in store. So our structures, our priorities, our pursuits, I would say, are all by way of preparation for stewarding a fresh move of God in this nation and therefore in this town. We need to understand intelligently, spiritually, what God is doing if we're to partner with that. We can't just drift along. We have to understand what God is doing. We need to be spiritually intelligent. Do we rest on our laurels and maintain a holding position? I'm sure we'll all know that the answer is obviously no. We don't do that. That's not our nature, is it? You can say no if you want, but no. As the Holy Spirit draws these threads together around our fifth birthday, it's for the purpose of pressing into everything God has, Revival Church and more. There's always a more. And I would say that's not just corporately, but it's personally as well. If you're part of what God is doing here corporately, we need to grab hold of there's a personal implication for our life as well. We need to get that. It's a personal God. So the question this inevitably poses for you and for me is this. Do I want to partner with God in seeing revival come to this nation, to our town, to our neighbours, to our families, to our workplace, to our schools, to our college, wherever? If our answer is no, and I'm sure in this place our answer isn't no, then we forfeit the right to directly benefit from the joy of the harvest when it comes. In Galatians 6, 7 and 9, it speaks of sowing and reaping. I know this is in the context of personal purity, but it's a biblical principle of sowing and reaping that remains. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6, it says this about sowing. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. What's my point in this? It's that as Revival Church presses into the calling on it in even greater measure, we each of us get to choose how much we will sow our lives into it. And the it isn't Jane and Andy's good idea. It isn't the idea of a few other people added to that. This is God's idea. We get to choose how much we sow of our lives into what God is doing in this town and in this nation. Isn't it brilliant that God calls us to be co-partners? The rewards for doing this wholeheartedly will be for us immense. The joy of knowing we've played our part in the salvation of another is wonderful. The privilege of being on the scene when people are swept into the kingdom and sharing the journey of nurturing into the family is awesome. If the angels in heaven rejoice over the salvation of one soul, then we can be assured that being part of God's revival purposes carries rich fulfillment for us that the world and anything else cannot match. So serving God's kingdom purposes isn't a job, it's a joy. It's always a joy. It was never a job. It's a joy. It's challenging. It's often challenging, but it can still be a joy. So as we embark on this next season of Revival Church, the invitation is extended from heaven for each of us to share this joy. what will the next 5 years of Revival Church look like? Actually, I don't know in detail, but I do know that we are marked for revival. We are marked for revival. Otherwise, we would not be standing here today. We would not be sitting here today. And I do know that the many prophetic words about rivers of God's life flowing in us and through us, that's bringing supernatural life to our communities in so many wonderful and innovative ways, are the outworking of those plans which God has to prosper us, to give us hope and a future. The purpose of this church, the purpose actually of any church, is not as a safe haven for Christians to escape the world. Just in case we had any doubts about that. The purpose of the church is, from Matthew 28, is to make disciples of all nations. To make disciples of all nations. Did you know that we're not only called to make disciples in the church, but we're called to disciple the nations? That's what Jesus, his last mandate was to his disciples, his personal disciples in Matthew 28. To conform the world to God's divine order, not to condemn it for its rejection of him and the brokenness and corruption that this brings in its wake. After all, I'm just bringing this bit to a close now. That was the mandate that God gave Adam and therefore Eve at the outset of creation, to make the world, as a great theologian, Dr. Joe Boot says, to make the world a theatre of God's glory. I love that image, the theatre of God's glory. That's what the world should be. Why else would Jesus have encouraged us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, if that wasn't his intention? Church, God is preparing us for revival, and I, for one, am really humbled to play my part in that. Jane.
Revival Church, Billericay, actually started in July 2009 when God spoke to Andy and I independently on the same morning and asked us to start a life group in our home in Billericay from CGC Chelmsford that we were then a part of. We said yes. We said yes. With fear and trepidation on my part, we said yes. And that was the first seed of Revival Church Billericay. In the face of everything within me humanly, was like, say no. But God said, say yes. The life group met for about 2.5 years in our home. And then God called us to plant a church in the town. And again, we said yes. Was it a yes as soon as God asked us? Actually, it took some weeks for us to fast and to pray to really know that it was what God was asking us to do. But once we'd confirmed that it was him asking, we said yes. And we had our first meeting in the function room of the Rising Sun pub on the 18th of November 2012. But Andy and I weren't the only ones to say yes at that point. Here today are some people who have journeyed with Andy and I from the very, very beginning in the Rising Sun. They are pioneers. They are pioneers. They sacrificed comfort and a warm room to hang out in the Rising Sun pub on Sunday mornings. They were prepared to embark on a journey that God was calling them to do, to pioneer something that looked different for our town. And can I ask those of you who were involved at the very beginning with Andy and I, can you stand, please, who were in the Rising Sun pub? I just want the rest of you, a part of the church, to see those people who have journeyed from the beginning and to honour them. Because actually the church wouldn't be here if it had just been Andy and I at the Rising Sun. We wouldn't have. Yeah, Pete's up there as well. Can I just ask you actually to honour that we, Andy and I, honour you guys. Thank you. And there are others who aren't here today. You can grab a seat, guys. There are others who aren't here today who were part of that journey with us. Little did we know what we had embarked on, hey? God has spoken to us so clearly over the years through many prophetic voices about what he sees. Prophetic, the prophetic voice is to speak something before it actually happens, but to see ahead of time. That's what the prophetic does. And these are the things that God has spoken to us over the year, that we would be a church where the supernatural and healing will be manifest, that we are a church where his kingdom would be released, that we are a church where worship and seeking his presence are central, and that signs and miracles will manifest in that environment. And these are people who knew nothing about us often, who would come and speak this stuff over us. And we've been told that we will be a really creative church. The thing is, these words don't just happen. We don't just sit there and wait for one day we will walk into church and there will be painting canvases all over the place and all creative stuff going on. We have to press into that stuff. We have to press into worship. We have to be intentional in stepping into what God has said. That's what our name is. Our name is intentional. Our name is intentional. This morning, I just want to share two recent, really significant prophetic words that we've had. And then there's going to be a response from us. Firstly, it was Rebecca King. Some of you may remember she came here to our School of the Prophetic in September. And when she came into this place on the Sunday morning, she said it is filled with light. She said this place is filled with light. She said that we are much bigger than we think and we're getting ready for a big change. She said God is getting ready to transplant you. He's going to pick you up and uproot you and take you to a new place, and he's going to plant you by the brooks of bliss. There we will have room to grow and drink deeply. She had a dream of roots catching fire. She said, God is transplanting you to a different place, and there will be authority by the power of God. You've been in a training period, but the season has changed. Everything is going to change because the fire of the Holy Spirit is coming through to get rid of stuff that doesn't actually matter and germinate seeds that have been dormant. She said that our size in the spirit doesn't fit our size as we are now. She said we're going to be confident in coming into levels of influence that we presently don't see. She said, get ready. It's a huge change. And then Rebecca said this, he's designed you to be a huge tree together, all of us corporately, that the birds of the air are going to settle in our branches. They're going to come. They're going to want to have their families here. They're going to build nests in our branches. And we're going to be able to nurture them and provide a house for those who are looking for a home. Then at the beginning of October, Andy and I and our key leaders met up with Bev Morrill, who's one of the co-founders of a CGI network. And we prayed together. And as we were praying, Bev had a picture of people in Bidariki walking around with candles. But the candles weren't lit. They were unlit candles. And then she saw people from church walking round with candles, lighting other people's candles. And at this point, Bev was sobbing. Now, those of us who know Bev know Bev doesn't cry. I don't mean that in it, but she's not a teary woman. And she was sobbing because she said, the presence of God is just all over what I am saying to you. She said that Bidariki was ablaze with light as people were coming back to the church to relight their candles. Bev said she had such a sense that we've answered the invitation from the Lord. Faith departed on the Mayflower, but now people are coming in faith, and this place is going to turn into a blazing town. Those are powerful, powerful words. Independently to all of this, Andy and I were walking in Lake Meadows one day. Can I have the picture up, please? And we felt drawn to this tree. Some of you may know it in the park. It's a huge, huge tree. It's called a Sequoia giganteum, or commonly known as a giant redwood. It's a huge tree. You can't fail to notice it. It changes the skyline around it. When you're close to it, it makes you look up. It directs your gaze to heaven. And then we remembered that Rebecca said, we as a church are going to be a great tree. A great tree. And as we were preparing for this morning, God said, I want you to create an opportunity for those who are part of the church family here to respond to what I'm saying, to what I'm declaring, what I'm prophesying over you, and to say yes to what God is doing in this place. You see, to see ourselves as part of the spiritual footprint of the church. So last Saturday morning, Andy and I went to Lake Meadows. Sarah's been wondering what these have been doing in our kitchen. And we went to the foot of that great tree and we collected all these pine cones. They are seeds in here. That's what a pine cone is. It's seeds. And my prayer is that these pine cones will be a reminder to us of what we're sowing into, of what we're sowing into. Now, we are a free church. We are a free church in this place. But I want to invite those for whom this is home. Actually, can you hold this? It's quite heavy. For whom this is home. For whom this is home. We're going to create an opportunity now that actually, if God, as we've been sharing this morning, has been sowing stuff in your heart, saying, yeah, this is, I am so for this. We just invite you to come forward and to take a pine cone and to use it as an aid memoir, if you like, to press in to these prophetic words. God's charged us over these last few days to open up spiritual gateways, to allow the Holy Spirit to flood into our town. And there's a commission upon us as a church. In Isaiah 62, it says this, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, clear it of stones, lift up a signal over the peoples. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the ends of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him. And you will be called a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. God loves Billericay and he wants Billericay to be saved. And we get to play an awesome part in that. So we're just going to play some music. And if you've kind of grabbed hold of what we've said this morning, we just want to invite you to come forward and to take a pine cone. And then Sue is going to pray over us.
Father, we want to thank you for the precious gift that you give us of holy moments, set apart moments where you presence yourself with us and you impact us in such a very tangible way. And Father, I want to thank you that for us here as a family this morning, that this has been a holy and a set apart moment. Father, that you have presenced, you are present with us. And that in this moment, we are humbled, Father, to stand before you and to say yes to you. To say yes to you, Lord. To be drawn deeper into that covenant relationship that you have with us. To partner with you. Father God, I want to thank you that for the words of that song we sang earlier, that we are able to say that you are my King Jesus, you are my king, but you are so much more than just my king. You are our king. You are the king of all kings. You are the God, the one and only true God, and there is no other beside you. And you are waiting in the courts of heaven for the moment that your Father says to you, it is time to go back. And you, Lord Jesus, will come again and establish your kingdom fully and completely on earth. And Father, in this moment of time that we stand in, we look forward to that day and we recognize, Father, that you are providing us with an opportunity that in what looks like it may be quite a short amount of time, you will be opening heaven and releasing Jesus to return. But before that time, you say, will you say yes to me? Will you partner with me to usher in this final amazing revival that you have, not just for Billericay, but for the whole world? And Father, in this moment here in this town this morning, you've asked us to partner with you and to say yes. Father, thank you for the picture of that tree. Thank you that you are that tree to us. That's your kingdom. And within that tree, there is so much that happens. It's a place of life. It's a place, it's a home. It's a place where birds create a safe and secure nest. It's a place where things are hatched and birth happens. It's a place where things and little people are nurtured until they are strong enough and old enough and have all that you purpose for them to have to begin to fly. Thank you that that's what you're calling us to be. That's one of the things you're calling us to be, Lord. Father, will you help us to partner with you to do those things? Will you show us and equip us to nurture, to value, to cherish, to feed, to care for, to watch over? Father, it's a place of wisdom. It's a place where old birds sit, where they look and they see into the distance. Father, thank you for every person that you have planted in this family that is an older and wiser bird who has life behind them. We ask that you will add to our number in that way and that you will grow the younger ones up, that they also may become wise and older birds to sit in that tree. Father, thank you that it's a launching place. It's a place where birds take their first flight from. That moment when they sit on the edge of the nest and they look. I don't know what goes through their mind, Lord, but we know you do. And that you're the one who puts the wind beneath their wings and causes them to fly. And Father, we want to pray that over our church, that you will make us willing to sit on the edge of our nest and to be willing to jump and to fly and to trust you to be the wind beneath our wings. Father, thank you that it's a place where seasons change. When we look at a tree, there are moments when it looks bare, when it seems that it's not alive, but it is. Because within those branches are the buds of new life that are waiting to burst forth in the rhythm of season. And we thank you for that as a church. We pray that you will guide us through the seasons that you have for us. That there will be times of fruitfulness and bursting forth of expansion. Father, we pray in all humility that when we need it, that you will prune us and that you will make us willing to allow you to shape and to change us, just like a tree needs to be done. Father, we thank you that you are a good God, and that the plans and the purposes that you have for us as a church and as a family here in this town, to provide shelter and shade, to provide food and nurture, to be a beacon, something that is seen from a distance, whose roots go deep into you. Father, thank you that you have all this for us and more. And we bless you that you are a faithful and a good God. And we pray, we say yes to you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name that you will bring to pass every good plan and purpose that you have for this body of people that is Revival Church Billericay. Amen.